Thanks for listening and welcome to Rewrite the Rules, the podcast that shows you there is no one right way to live your life. I'm your host, Alex Starr, and I want to expose you to new lifestyles, mindsets, and stories of adventure from around the globe. So pour your favorite drink, roll up a joint, and let's get going. Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in and welcome to episode number 30. I made it. It's been almost 2 years. We got to 30. Hell yeah. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Today's episode, I have Emily and Corey from Where's My Office Now, two awesome people that have been traveling around the country in their van and making money while they do it, doing it all online and living a true nomadic lifestyle. It's really cool. I would check out their Instagram, which is where I found them, at Where's My Office Now. And it's really cool to get some inspiration and see how they do it and the beautiful landscapes they go to. So I hope you guys enjoy that. And, you know, we did the podcast actually when they were in Maine and I was in California, and they actually were in their van while they did it in the cold with their heater on and about 3 feet of snow, you know, in the Maine winter. So very legit, very cool. Make sure and check them out. And go over to my site. I'm going to have this video up so you can actually watch the conversation take place, figured out how to record Skype calls, and you can also put in your email address on my site, and I'll be sending out some things about books that I'm reading and when I'm going to post some new podcasts, get some feedback from you guys about who you'd like to hear me talk to, things like that. So check that out. Leave me a review on iTunes if you get a chance. That'd be much appreciated. And make sure and check out Corey and Emily's adventures at Where's My Office Now. Enjoy this episode, guys. Talk to you soon. Okay, cool. Well, I'm sorry to make you guys sit out in your van in the Maine winter to do the podcast. Okay, there we go.
It's cozy
cool.
In here. We have a heater.
Nice. Yeah, so the people that are watching the video can see you guys, but describe your van and describe Where's My Office Now. Like, you guys have been living in the van for how long?
We've been living in the van for about 4 years. It'll be 4 years in January.
Oh, Mike. So talk like, how did this start? Because it's so cool.
Well, we both went on a surf trip about 6 months into our relationship. I went down to Nicaragua together. And we met a guy who actually was one of the original like van lifers on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh man, you guys seem like you have the right attitude. You have the right work to maybe try living on the road. So it kind of just that, he said it really brief and quick, and it kind of put that in our, we came back and we're like, man, let's do this. We started hunting around for vans. And Emily at that time had a website development business.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had work that we could take with us on the road. And we started looking for vanigans. And we thought that they were like the most utilitarian vehicles. They were really, really kind of funky, had a lot of character. And they also had a really awesome community already built in. Like, people go nuts for these things. And so, yeah, we found one and kind of the rest is all online.
It's 80 square feet and it's home.
Yeah,
it's got a downstairs bed right here that folds out. It's got an upstairs loft, which is
also a bed.
And it's got a stove. It's got a heater now, which is amazing. It's got everything that we need, really.
It came stock with a little refrigerator that we ripped out. It's right underneath the stove and turned it into like food pantry.
Nice.
Dry food. And now we have a separate 12-volt fridge that runs off an auxiliary battery. And that auxiliary battery also powers an inverter so we can charge our computers and everything.
So it's a whole little it's a self-inclusive little unit, like anything you need.
Anything we need. Like, the only thing we don't have is, and this always comes up, is a bathroom. But
so what do you do?
There's, you know, yeah, we're in the national forest most of the time.
Okay.
So we have multiple shovels with us.
Nice.
And anytime we're in, there's very clean restrooms, pretty much public restrooms, pretty much everywhere you go.
And I do have a pee bucket,
oh,
which
you do?
Works wonders.
You don't have one of the, what are those like, what are the female like, like the what's it called? Like the sheepy or something? What is that called?
Shiwi. Yeah.
Shiwi, yeah.
Shiwi.
Yeah.
I like how you guys call it and I don't know the
well,
name.
Well, that's because I was looking for it because the pee bucket thing is a little aggressive sometimes.
It works like, really well.
That's a good boyfriend.
Like she'll.
It was only aggressive in the beginning when my aim wasn't that good and it got better over the years.
But she'll literally. The problem is she's like lazy about it now, where there'll be like a public bathroom like 100 yards away and she'll still like.
It's like nah, it's too far. It's like in Harold and Kumar, you know, when they like smoke too much weed and they walk down the hallway and they turn around, they're like, oh, we've gone too far. We can't. No.
Yeah. It's gone too far.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Nice. Very cool. Well, so like when you guys started, I mean, so you were doing like online advertising. What were you doing, Corey?
I was right before we left, I had been working as a guide at a kayak shop.
Okay.
And I'd saved up a decent amount of money, and we had kind of set our business up, the website business up as I would be doing the like marketing and all, the person to person scenario, where Emily could be in kind of in the back doing more of the behind the scenes development.
Okay.
So she didn't necessarily have a ton of interaction with the clients. So she could kind of just like focus on the work. And we did that for like a handful of websites, but we realized after that, that with Emily's retainer model contract that she had with a bigger client, that it was a better use of our time for me to
be the van manager. Much... So to.
Okay.
The van. The 1987, and it needs a lot of maintenance work, and it broke down many times, especially in the beginning, and it was more economical to have Corey troubleshoot it and figure it out that way.
Yeah, I mean, in our day-to-day stuff, like I was doing all the cooking, all the cleaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Pretty much, I was making it so that Emily could focus on her work and didn't really have to worry about anything else.
Nice.
Which worked well, but to be honest, it kind of was a little bit imbalancing for me to be so virtually focused in a lifestyle of a lot of movement. So we kind of shifted our roles after the first couple of years.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so when sorry, go ahead, Corey. What were you going to say?
No, go for it.
It's like, what did you guys do with all your stuff? I mean, like if I wanted to go like, you know, which I've dreamed about this before. I think a lot of people like stare out the window, you know, and just like, oh, I just want to road trip it around. It sounds badass. So if I was to do that, or anybody listening, what are the steps you take if you're like, I'm done with this job, fuck it. What do you do with your stuff? Do you leave it at your parents' house? You put it in storage? Like, how much stuff did you bring with you? What are like the first three steps anyone should take if they want to join this lifestyle?
I think to start, you need to kind of start assessing your needs versus your wants, like way before you would ever just like get up and leave. I think like getting into the practice of relinquishing material items way before you leave. We say like Emily was talking about, you give something away, one thing away for like 30 days.
Well, that's that minimalist, and, like, I think, thing, right? The group.
Yeah, yeah. Just get it, giving.
Practicing letting go of things, yeah. And assessing what it is that you really need and why you really need it and what's a want and what's a need. And it's, yeah.
And also looking at budgeting. So like, all right, so you're going to be on the road. Maybe for a lot of people, they're not going to have the exact same income that they had before. Like, figure out what your base needs are and work with that budget, you know, far before you leave. So you're not jumping into this lifestyle and having to also alter your spending like immediately. That's a, you know, that's a pretty drastic change.
But like any freelance work, it comes, it ebbs and it flows. So if we're able to live simply when the money is really good, then we can save up and we can have like a cushion through the times where it gets bumpier. So these are the things that we're learning.
Yeah. And how much, what are like your average expenses if someone was to save like $10,000, they bought a van and they had like $5,000 cash. How long would that last? For your lifestyle, you know, just a ballpark estimate.
If it's a single person and they're okay with making a lot of their own food and like, you know, living fairly simple and by down by the river the whole time, but mm-hmm. being, you know, being conscious of what you buy, you could probably do that for half a year on $5,000.
No, really.
You really got to look at, you don't have to, you can live in a van and not drive. So yeah. if you can find property or just be out in the national forest for weeks at a time, if that's something that you desire, what are your expenses? Nothing really, like some gas and food. So right. that's an individual expense. That's a personal thing. What is it that, what kind of food do you need to,
right.
to, yeah. fuel your life?
For example, like, for example, me and Emily eat pretty expensive food. We definitely like hit up the co-ops and Whole Foods
and dumpsters sometimes.
Dumpsters sometimes.
Do you really go dumpster yeah. diving?
Yeah.
Did you find good stuff?
Yeah. You have no idea. You have no
like
idea.
Like what? Like what's the best away? Thing you found in a dumpster?
I'm gonna tell this story.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice,
so
nice.
We were at a Whole. There's a Whole Foods in a town in Arizona that we spend a lot of time in.
Okay.
And it's a new Whole Foods, and they hadn't quite got their like dumpster thing down yet. And we were like, tons and tons of veggies one time, like filled up our freezer with like box, like salad, totally fine, not even one leaf bad. But anyways, we went back one night, late at night, to see if there's anything else. And Emily notices a bag, a full trash bag. They triple bag everything when they throw it away.
Uh-huh.
So it's like she finds a whole bag of Danishes.
Nice.
like a whole bag of Danishes. And she's like a little raccoon, like ripping the bags apart. Snagging.
Like a little squirrel, like, nah, nah, nah.
Like
and then, yeah. And then the staff like came out of the side door and she literally looked like a little raccoon, like stealing stuff running back to the van.
Nice.
Yeah. But,
okay, so you guys don't spend any money on Danishes, yeah. though. But
no. We don't never eat Danishes.
No, like, we never do. Unless they're dumpster Danishes.
Perfect.
Dumpster so, but Danish. To get back to your original question, like, yeah. We eat really well. We eat more expensive food. A lot of simple stuff, but expensive. And we spend about $200 a week for both of us.
Okay.
And that's including dog food.
Oh, right.
Too. And okay. we also buy expensive dog food. So you can live, you know, fairly inexpensive.
Actually, we get some slack for that on
YouTube
because we did a video the first year about how much van life costs. And I forget what we said per month, but maybe like a couple grand. Months, yeah. So we had people who are very, very, very simplistic or are doing it for the sole purpose of saving money. And they're like, you guys are crazy. Like, go eat ramen noodles. Why are you spending so much money? And our response to that is that the point of us living in a van is not to live as cheaply as possible. We're doing this to live as fully as possible and to experience as much as we can. And we don't like ramen noodles.
I mean, we view food as like, good old spicy chicken ramen.
Yeah, no thing. Like one of those when you're sick or something's good, and then you're like, I don't ever want to eat this again. Like,
no thanks.
Well, we use food as like our medicine too. Like, it really, like, you know, if we eat healthy, we stay healthy, and so we're not. It's not something we're really willing to sacrifice or drop our level.
We see it as a way of. We move around a lot. I think, like, we see food as a way of grounding ourselves in the lifestyle of a ton of motion. So, and we eat seasonally too. So if we're in the cold and moving around a lot, we'll eat more like warm and grounding foods.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a balancing tool that we use on the road.
Yeah, that's a good call because you don't. Yeah, you have to have the good food or else you're going to go crazy, I think.
For sure.
Emily, you mentioned like how you guys want to live fully, you know. Were there things before you started the van life that you guys were kind of, you know, over like parts of society or something that made you just kind of get tired of it and want to do this type of lifestyle, which is a very... You know, it's kind of a rebellious lifestyle, I guess, you know, it's definitely unique and it's not mainstream. So was there something about mainstream society or the way that you saw your life going where you're like, I don't want that, and that's why you guys switched over? Or what was the mindset?
Yeah, I think my whole life has kind of been like that. I definitely followed the – I did follow the go to college and get a degree and not sure – you know, not sure of what I wanted to do, but knowing that I needed a degree, and that evolved into a 9-to-5. And I think that's when I really realized that something was off, just because of the anxiety that I was experiencing and just this, like, is this it? Like, this is adult life. I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. So it's been a hell. Yeah. Corey has always chosen.
Yeah, I've pretty much
be different.
Yeah, I've kind of
take a different path.
I can tell.
I've been working on this one for a little while now. We both went to the UNH, the University of New Hampshire, mm-hmm. and we kind of got, you know, the whole thing. She had a job for a while, and I kind of skipped out on the whole 9-to-5 thing. I went kind of straight into exactly what I wanted to do. I was a kayak guide. In New Hampshire and also in California. I guess that would probably be my most serious job. Like, I managed a kayak shop. But I just had a desire to travel, and like, I knew that the world was big and this country was big, and there's a lot that I wanted to see.
Yeah.
And I knew that there was a lot of ways to make money, and that if I wanted to do this, that I would figure it out. And I knew it might be hard, but like everything, any lifestyle has its issues, has its
parts. Sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just like, I guess for me, it was like what I wanted to get out of life. I wanted I wanted to do the activities that I love, mountain biking and surfing and snowboarding. And I knew that there was other places I could do that other than just staying in one place in New England for the rest of my life. So, mm-hmm. That was where it started for me, I guess.
Yeah, and do you guys have any regrets about your lifestyle now at all? Do you ever want, like, oh, I missed this part of, you know, maybe having a more stationary life? Or are you guys full on board almost all the time?
I think we appreciate the simple things that a normal, quote-unquote normal, life offers. Like, I think that we appreciate a hot shower more. We appreciate how easy it is to feel that sense of groundedness, but I don't regret anything at all. I love what we're doing. It has its challenges for sure, but with that comes so much growth and like love for life and joy for life.
Yeah,
meeting amazing people and community, and these are things that we didn't have, or I personally didn't feel that much of before.
Go ahead, Nina.
I said I can't really add much to that.
You covered it all, Emily. Nice work. What's the number one reward for being on the road, and what's the number one challenge?
I think the number one reward for me is just being able to like pick up and move and go to the beauty. Like, I know that I can just like in 30 minutes or less, I can have my life all packed up and I can jump in my house. It's also my vehicle, and then drive to the next location that I'm excited about.
The natural beauty for me and community, those are both super meaningful. And just I guess the life lessons that I seem to be rapidly learning that apply to all aspects of life, regardless of in a house or a van, it's just invaluable.
Like what?
Yeah.
Like one, like say- recently, an example? Those are like the hardest questions when they're like, it's everything, nothing.
Well, for example, it's like the journey is a reflection of what's going on inside of you. Like I'm seeing everything as like almost being a mirror for my inner world too. So it's like a journey in and out. And I don't know, like just something like beauty is everywhere. So yes, we might be traveling to these amazing, amazing locations and experiencing this like vastness, but it's almost like we're training our eyes to see the beauty that is everywhere. So when we're back in a city and we're in a traffic jam, yeah, we might get like triggered and get frustrated, but it's like easier then to shift out of that and back into like, wow, like we're still here on earth and this is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So that's one. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Go ahead, Corey.
The second, I would say to answer your like second part of that question, like what's the difficult things? Mm. I would say like being in a small space with like in a relationship is definitely it magnifies everything. And I both have very different like ways we go about
life,
our life in terms of like cleanliness and like the order or like
everything.
Let's cut to the chase here. I'm systematic,
okay,
and like very organized. And Emily is, I'm like small details, like every day, like how things are operation, like the operations of everything every day, like getting the food, making sure everything's like good to go. Emily's more like big idea, like a month out, like working on the creative stuff. So from one aspect, it's kind of challenging because we're both kind of, we're going about life a little bit a different way. We obviously have to compromise, but while that is a challenge on a daily basis, it's also an amazing thing because it's like we have these very different set of skills. I mean, when we smush them together, we become like a much broader person. So for me, I guess at the beginning and still like somewhat often I get frustrated just because of the differences, but I get to remind myself, I have to remind myself like,
daily,
hey,
daily, we have to remember this.
Yeah, like, hey, like not like you're lucky to be with a person that compliments you.
Yeah.
Like in reality, it's a compliment more than it is like an attack or a negative.
You know? It's also good because we can learn from each other, and it can be kind of hard to be like, okay, actually I do need to be a little bit neater, and I do want to plan out things better. And it's hard to sometimes admit that, and that's definitely ego thing, but it's an opportunity always to be a little bit more balanced of a person through the reflection that's uncomfortable.
So, yeah,
that we experience living in 80 square feet.
But I will say, if someone is like in a new relationship and they're in like the honeymoon phase and all like puffy, I'm like, all right, yeah, go trap each other in a van for 3 months and go drive and like figure it out. Then see how long the puppy love phase and like the real, like the realness of like having to live in tight quarters with someone and learning to accept all their different little traits that you might not be used to in your normal life.
Yeah, you guys must need alone. I mean, like, do you guys have like set alone time where you're like, I'm going to go for 2 hours. Don't go with me.
I think, and then for the new year, it would be great to have that kind of planned alone time in a way. Like maybe every Sunday we just take the day off.
I do it all the time. I go mountain biking.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. Because, like, man, that'd be hard. Man. I'm with people for 2 days, and I'm like, you know, if I'm hanging out with a girl for 2 days, I'm like, oh, God, this is way too long. Like, I need some time. I need a few days.
we do our – we have own activities, and, like, that's one thing that I've always stressed is, like, keeping that individualism while we're on the road. And that, for me, manifests itself in the form of, like, mountain biking and surfing. And for Emily, a lot of times that's – also surfing and dancing and hula hooping and like,
or wandering out somewhere and whatever.
Finding Danishes.
Finding Danishes in the dumpster.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there is definitely a for sure time that we spend apart.
It's needed. It's needed. And if we don't get it as we need it, then we tension accumulates. So we do need to have that separation.
Yeah.
I think it's incredible that you guys are able to, be in a van. It's you two and a dog. You have a little dog named Penny, right?
Yes.
She's not that little, though.
Yeah, so you guys have two fully adult humans and a 60-pound dog?
Yeah, 50-ish.
And, like, to be in just that van and, driving around everywhere and just, like, you know, shitting and eating and like, you know, doing every single thing about life always together and to still come out the other side still wanting to be together, I think is pretty special. It's pretty unique.
Yes. We need to remember that sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I bet that's easy to forget, though, too.
Yeah. Like, forget, remember.
Yeah. So take me through like a typical week, because I'm super curious about, like, if you guys visit friend, like, I was picturing if I did a road trip, I would like see friends for a week and then like go in the forest for a couple weeks and then go to a national park. So like, what's a typical like time frame? How is it broken up into like national forest, campgrounds, hotels, friends? Typically, I know it's 4 years is a lot to kind of condense, but.
I mean, originally it was like, we didn't have many friends out west. Like, I mean, like, really, no, we just didn't. We hadn't spent a ton of time. I mean, we had friends in San Diego.
Okay, yeah.
Like, in that zone. And that we knew when we were there, we were going to be, like, seeing friends in places. But, like, we didn't have friends. Like, we went to Sedona, Arizona pretty quickly. And we didn't have any friends there. And so, at first, we had, like, we weren't super privy to how the National Forest and BLM works. So, we were, like, in the campground for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then we discovered the National Forest. So, I would say at the beginning, it was more of like campgrounds. And when we were on the East Coast, we were bouncing around to friends. But as we made our way west and up until now, it's like predominantly we're in national forests, I would say. Like 75% of the time we're in free lands or that state's, each state's version of free land.
And those are like 75, or I'm sorry, those are like 2 weeks at a time, right? I think National Forest is like 2 weeks in one spot.
Yes, exactly.
Typically, yeah, it's and we never stay that long, but yeah, it's like you can be there for 14 days in the same spot without moving, and you have to be a quarter mile away from an established campground and a quarter mile away from a watershed. Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's pretty evenly split, though, like the past year between going to San Diego for a couple weeks and then going in the National Forest for a couple weeks. And we've also had some projects that have made us move a lot faster. So we had a video project this summer and we had to get to British Columbia. So we moved way faster than we would normally move. And then we filmed a documentary series a couple years ago. And that was a whole month of moving fast. So and we've had other projects, too. So it kind of ebbs and flows, but the average is maybe like a week here, a week there.
Okay.
Kind of
yeah. Interesting. And then like, are you guys, like when you go to San Diego, are you parked in front of your friend's house and you're chilling in their house for the week and then you're taking off to, are you driving back and forth between a campground or what do you guys usually do?
It's been a mix. We've stayed at a campground. It's pretty expensive there on the ocean. It's like a lot per night for a campground.
Oh yeah.
We have done a lot of self camping where we actually scope out a residential street and just
a rich neighborhood.
Nice.
Big fences.
Yes.
Pull in at 10 o'clock and just go to bed and leave early in the morning.
Nice.
We've done that. We've also we made friends in San Diego, so now we stay at their place sometimes or in their parking lot, their backyard.
I mean, we met these friends randomly surfing and have a giant backyard in just east of the city, and so their fence is just big enough for us to back our van in.
Nice.
And they have this cool backyard with like a teepee and a koi pond, so it's very nature-y vibe in the middle of the big city, right? So
that's so cool.
We found the only like, hippie vibe in all of San Diego. No, I'm kidding.
Like, oh, I smell like vegan food. This is where I'm going.
Yeah, right. No, I smell burnt. Barbecue. That's
oh god. So where are you guys? So where are you guys going next? You're in Maine right now in winter. So where are you guys going to cruise to next? What's the next like month looking like?
We have some body work we need to do to the van, and I have a friend in Oregon who has a fab shop. He's like big into Vanagon's. Also like amazing guy with metal. So we're gonna go and fix a van up. And then we're heading south, back to San Diego for probably a month. And then in March, we're going to Hawaii to do a yoga teacher training.
Nice. So you're going to park your van at your friend's house and book it?
Yeah, we work with a company called Go Westie out of Los Osos, California, and their whole business is based around restoration and parts on store that sells parts for Vanagons, Eurovans, and a little bit of for the older buses. Uh-huh. So we'll probably leave our van there with them.
Okay, cool. When you guys, I think like the biggest question is, how do you keep this up, right? Like, how do you keep it up financially? I know you guys do this, like the kind of like contracting work, and you're doing consulting and stuff. What are the majority of the van life people like in the community? What's a good way for people listening if they're trying to get into this? Like, what are some good ways to be able to just make money to kind of break even and continue traveling while you're keeping up this lifestyle?
I would say probably the one of the easiest ways to start it is a program called Woofing. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
I would say that if you want to get out and just start moving, it's a good way to get started. You know, you're getting with Woofing, you're working on organic farms, and you're getting a free place to stay and food most of the time. And a lot of the times you can curtail, as long as you're a good worker, curtail a stay into a paid position. So that's one way. But there's, you know, realistically seasonal work. Like, if you don't have like a web-based job when you leave, there's seasonal work working on farms. Mm-hmm. pretty much everywhere. I mean, the seasons rotate a little bit as you move around, but I mean, we know people that have literally sustained themselves for years just doing seasonal farm work.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the easiest ways. Cool. Yeah.
I think it just takes looking at what your skill sets are and what your passions are and what's available and just thinking outside of the box. Like, we met one guy on the road who has a knife sharpening business out of his van again. So he has like a whole whatever setup. And he'll drive to salons and restaurants and just offer to sharpen their knives. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, you're here already? Sure, why not?
Really?
Yeah. So that's like totally outside of the box. It's not even virtual at all. And it's just a kind of a creative needed thing. So, yeah, I think it kind of takes using that right side of the brain a little bit and just thinking outside the box. So we've met artists. We've met like painters, obviously website developers, IT people. That's huge. We've met writers and photographers, videographers.
We've met people,
personal trainers. I already say that.
Yeah. Personal trainers, health coaches that are doing everything virtually through Skype. I mean, for a lot of people that are doing this, it's about creating your own work, you know, like Emily was kind of saying, like looking at your skill sets and then making a job for yourself. There's a lot of money floating around out there, and if you can provide a service that people are looking for, mm-hmm. you can make it work. And you might have to supplement it with other skills that are already established, mm-hmm. or other careers that are established. But there's always ways to make money if you really want it.
Yeah. No, that's terrific advice. I think the Woofing is really clutch too, because I know I did that. I did Workaway. Have you guys heard of workaway.info, that website? I do that whenever I travel like internationally. I'll pick a spot and I'll just go chill there for like a few weeks and work on a farm or at a hostel or something. But you're right. Like in the States, it'd be pretty easy if you saved up some cash and you got yourself a van, those upfront things. And even if you're building your business, you're right. You could just go for free and work on a farm for months at a time without spending any money really while you're working on your own business. But at least you're out.
And on top of that too, what a nice part of that is you're really getting to know a particular area. And that's something that we almost struggle with. We almost move too fast where we feel like we don't truly settle into every zone. And when you do a program like that, you're also typically working, you know, with people who live there for a while. So you're getting a good look at the actual community there, at the points of interest, environmentally, mm-hmm. or culturally. So there's definitely benefits being stationary for longer periods of time. But yeah, I would say that's other than having some sort of, highly paid, you know, web job, you know, I think that's a great way to get going.
Yeah. No, that's great advice too. And I think is it easier than people think?
For sure.
I mean, that's a loaded question kind of, but
yeah, we're all going to have our own journey of this. It's all going to be our own path that we're carving. I think the hardest part is saying yes. it's for, you know, just launching in and taking the leap and knowing that it's going to be uncomfortable at times. But I don't know.
It's as far as like the work side of that goes. I mean, it's about like what you're comfortable with. Like, I'm really comfortable at like talking to people and being like outspoken, I guess. Not maybe not outspoken, but like, you know,
you're outgoing, you're an extrovert.
So like I can typically find work like fairly easy.
Putting ourselves out there.
And
it's key.
Like, you'd be surprised how many times you've heard stories of people just like rolling up to farms or like just being in the right place at the right time. And yeah, someone hears that they need work and they're like, oh, I need someone to like chop wood or like, you know,
pick my weed,
maintenance at my house.
Trim my weed.
There's that.
Exactly.
That's the lucrative one, right?
Yeah, dude, there's so much of that up here. I thought about it a few times. I'm like, man, you can make how much money in a month? Like $5,000? Shit.
Oh, classic.
Yeah, no, that's badass. God. You know, I have I keep getting like the grass is greener mentality with basically everything, and it gets worse and worse the more that I move around. So how do you guys moving around constantly like that, what effect does that have on your mindset on like that grass is greener kind of thing? Like, ooh, the next state's going to be cooler. Or are you guys just in the zone now where you're loving everything and you don't even have that anymore?
I thought I was loving everything. And then this summer we were back country and I got a parasite. I picked up Giardia parasite.
Oh.
And, yeah, as soon as we got back home, we hadn't been back to our parents for 3 years or 2 years. I got super, super sick and it just wiped my system and turned into honestly severe anxiety and restlessness like I've never experienced before. So I've been like, well, wondering if like we haven't been settling enough for me, like if we're moving too fast. And that was almost a result. What I went through was a result of that, or if it was just this weird freak thing and it is what it is. And I don't know, like, I'm not sure. So 2017, I'd like to feel more settled in places, like feel that sense of groundedness, which doesn't necessarily mean staying somewhere longer. Okay. I don't think.
What do you mean then?
Like mentally,
being really, really present and really mindful. So it's just a habit, my own personal habit of rushing that is still left over from before van life and, you know, the 9 to 5. And I guess the culture that we've been raised in and my own personality too, rush, 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 go fast, you know, as fast as possible. So that's just my own thing that I'm kind of working on. How can I settle in and be more mindful? And that's what's interesting is in the beginning of the van life, we each had our own separate roles and Corey was the van manager and I was the virtual online doing website development. And now I'm realizing that I actually need to do these like very simple things. Like I do need to cook and I do need to clean because they are grounding. They are the rituals that like keep me present. So that's what I'm realizing. So we're actually going to share more responsibilities like that.
Here. Yeah, we'll see
Can
about
I
that.
Clean? Can I clean?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you're begging to clean. Yeah, right.
That's
we have this. We have this all recorded now that she said this. So,
yeah, I know. I can like.
I'm gonna come back and find it.
You just like, I'll give you my number, dude. Just text me, and I'll just like put out that audio clip, and I'll just send it to you. I'll send it to your phone. You can just play it on repeat in the van.
Okay. I welcome the reminder. Please.
Yeah, that's so cool.
I love dishes now.
how old are you guys, by the way?
I'm 32.
I'm 30, almost 31.
Okay. Oh, an older woman. Nice, dude.
We call it, she's a puma. She's not quite a cougar.
A puma. Just, I've never heard that before.
Or a meow.
Meow.
Meow is another.
Yeah, what are the, you guys have, like, are there, there's people of all ages, though, out there, huh? Like 20-year-olds and 70-year-olds just all cruising around in vans.
It's super funny. I mean, like, people like, oh, what are you, you know, talking to a company, like, what's your demographic? And I was like 16 to 80. I was like, I get emails from people across the spectrum asking literally the same questions.
Well, and what are the biggest questions? How do you make it work financially? Like, who, like, what's the top, like, three questions you get, kind of?
Money. Where do you go to the bathroom? where do you sleep or stay at night, I'd say. Those three. Yeah. Or what kind of van? Yeah, what kind of van?
Oh, okay.
We actually started doing this thing. We were getting, like, tons and tons of emails, and I love responding. Like, the teaching aspect of this lifestyle was the thing that caught me by surprise that I ended up, like, it's one of my favorite things about it. But I was answering, like, emails for, like, 4 hours a day, and it was getting, like, wicked intense. Like
the same thing over there, just copying and pasting, like, the same things, like, this is how we make money. This is where we sleep.
Yeah. Well, people would ask pretty particular questions, so I had to, like, I want people to feel like it, like, they're getting an answer directly to the question.
Unique to them, because they have given us their story, so we know, like, their individual background.
So I started, actually, to help with this process, I started doing like van life coaching or consulting.
Just
like it's just a donation base. I tell people I'm not doing this for money to get rich off it or anything, but you know, well, let's get on a Skype, let's get on a phone call, let's walk through your questions. Let me help if you're concerned about certain things, let me talk. And, you know, it's been great, and people have been super responsive, and we've gotten a few donations that were great. And that's amazing to me, because I love teaching. Like, that was one of the things that I did before we left. I was a substitute teacher, and I did a lot of environmental education through the kayak shop, so that I can curtail that into this life too, is amazing to me.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you, like, building a little community. Have you guys had people that have emailed you, and then eventually you, like, kind of, you know, cross paths and you met up, and, like, I'm sure it happens all the time, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, regionally, like, when you're in Southern California, it happens a little bit more than when you're in Maine.
Yeah. I gotta say, I love Maine, by the way. Maine is, like, the top state. I love it out there. I don't know what about it, in the summertime, at least. Not right now. But in, like, July or August, it is so prime. Yeah. Like, that's in my mind of, like, somewhere where I'd get, like, a summer house if I ever got rich, you know? It's like, oh, I'd get it in Maine for sure.
Yeah. Emily lives, like, 5 minutes from the beach, so we're both big surfers. So we come home, it's, like, pretty prime time.
Nice. You guys have, what, 130,000, I think, Instagram followers, right?
Yeah.
So do you guys ever, like, roll up to places and it's like, oh, dang, like, there's Corey and Emily. Like, where's my office now? Like, there they are. Like,
yes.
Generally, like, they know who you are from your Instagram.
Will come up. Yeah. They'll come up and they'll say, "Hey, you know, I've been following you for however long," and it's always really awesome. We have had a few times where people don't come up and they'll take, like, a photo and tag us, and we're like, "Why didn't you come and say hi?" Yeah. It's kind of weird. Creeping on us, but
yeah, I mean,
we love to meet people. We love it. It's great.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange thing. But that that number, because there's we have 130,000 followers or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, some people will think, like, that we don't want to talk, or we don't want to, like, show like our lifestyle. Like, we're outward online. Like, all we're doing is sharing, like, everything about our lifestyle.
Yeah,
when we see people and we're, like, stoked. Yeah. We're like, oh, real people.
Yes.
Come and hang out with us in our van. Like, it's, like, one of the coolest things that happens to us. But because we have a fairly large following, people, like, get weirded out, like, we're gonna be jerks or something if they come.
Really?
Yeah, who knows why.
Isn't that so weird? Instagram's so weird like that, man. Like, you get over a certain amount of followers and it's like, oh, these people are, like, Instagram famous or something over a certain amount, and you're right. You assume that they they don't want to interact with like the peasants or something because they have over 100,000 followers on Instagram or something. It's like this really weird thing now. And it's just like this, it's just how many followers you have on this picture sharing app. It's very strange.
It's like I said, for us, Instagram has been amazing because it's just allowed us to connect with so many people.
It's a super cool account too. Yeah.
And that's like, it's fun for us because we never even, like, when we started out, we had no clue.
Like, Corey didn't want to share on social media.
Yeah, I didn't want social media at all. Like, I was a little worried that by having social media, we were going to, it was kind of taken away from our own journey, that we were going to be worried about producing content.
For sure.
Instead of enjoying beautiful scenery. And then the whole like, teaching thing came along, and we realized that people were really interested.
And that you enjoyed sharing what you were learning because you were learning so much. Yeah.
So there was an aspect that kind of like flipped my mentality about social media. And I think for us, we never like set out to, you know, have tons of followers. We set out to share something that we were passionate about and that we truly loved. And I think it's amazing that we have so many people that also enjoy what we share, but enjoy this this style of life.
Yeah. And I think it says something about where we are as a society that so many people are interested in the van life movement and the outdoor movement. We're all needing that connection, that community, that back to nature, creativity, you know, transforming, evolving work. These things are big themes and they're all part of this. And that's what I see. I see, yes, we are growing, but it's bigger. It's like so much bigger than us. It's so much bigger.
And we're not particularly like special people. You know what I mean? Like we have the desire to get out and travel, which I think a lot of people do. And we just kind of, we took a risk knowing that we might fail, but we're like, hey, what are we going to do here? Like wish that we did this, or are we going to do it and A, live an awesome life and enjoy every second, or B, we fail and we learn that, hey, that's not for us. And that's realistically the worst thing that could happen. And we would go back to doing something else. And that was kind of how we looked at it when we left.
Dude, I'm sold. Like, you know, it's so true. Yeah. It's so cool because it sets up, it is really like everything that you'd ever wanted of like, you know, like I hate my job. I'm tired of being in a 9-to-5 rut, like the freedom, like, you know, nature, the adventure. You're right. Like changing the way that you're now your own boss. I mean, like it's all of that, that the 21st century offers, and it just combines it into one package in a van, like everything, you know?
Yeah.
And for us too, like people always talk about work and money and everything. And what Emily, one of the main things I think Emily is hot. And for me, her approach to work and her idea of work has changed, where she no longer like totally views it as a monetary exchange. She views it as ideas that are, she believes will help make the world a better place. And like
it's my energy output in the creation of what we're, it's my part in what we're creating together.
And, you know, I think if you go about it, like for her, now that she's like kind of changed her mentality, I'm talking for you right now.
I know. It's okay. Keep going. You're doing a great job.
Because she's changed her mentality about it. She's also like had all these opportunities come up, you know, that are monetary because she's like followed exactly.
So you could call it follow your bliss or follow your passion. Or it's what I'm trying on my own to see if it works. Yeah.
And it's working.
It is. And it's been really hard. Challenging.
At times, but
it's working.
You're talking about like putting out like
it shifted.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So it went from like website development where I was working for companies that I didn't resonate with at all. And then that ended because I couldn't take it anymore. And it shifted to freelance writing about topics that I was really passionate about. And then it's shifting into sponsorship and getting paid for the storytelling that we're already doing, that we're already passionate about. And we're starting to make money on YouTube. And now we're getting yoga certified. So it's like, keep following your passion, keep following your bliss. Even if it doesn't make sense, like where you're going, like just keep going. Like that's your path. Yeah.
And we're lucky enough in this too, to be able to work with, people and companies that we also really align with and like share same core values. So it's really cool to see how this lifestyle can, we can spread even a broader message than our own by aligning with the right people. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, no, I think it's so cool. I think you both are right that like when you're following a path that like, it doesn't make sense, like even monetarily wise, but it's just like, God, that for some reason that just feels right to go down that out, like down that road, you know? Yeah. And then it always leads somewhere good, even if it's like inadvertently or accidentally. You're like, how did I end up here? And you backtrack your life. You're like, oh, that's right. Because we decided to take this step and like switch from the 9 to 5, or we decided to do this instead of that. And all of a sudden you ended up 5 years later in this like incredible place, like where you guys are at now, like 4 years later. Yep. And now you have all these things going on because you've been building it up and took these paths, and it's fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of on that same general theme for a second, kind of off topic, same general theme.
Nice. Hit me.
It's the breakdowns that we physically had, maybe emotionally, but also like physically in the van, that have brought about some of the most like amazing encounters with people and growth, and like putting us outside our comfort zone to know that we're like, we can push through it. And we have the mental capacity, we have the physical capacity to deal with these issues like as they come. And it's odd, like literally within our first 6 months, we had this massive breakdown of our van. It was like electronic breakdown, which in a van again is horrible because there's no diagnostic equipment. You literally have to like plug and play like every wire in the van. But we had like this crazy community outpouring. We had people like driving like an hour and a half to like bring us parts to see if they could help us. Mm-hmm. So like with any breakdown, with any, you know, bad thing that happens, you gotta look for the silver lining, you know, and look at how you can grow from that scenario. And that's one thing that van life has taught us. And
it's
shown
almost
us.
Like the more you face challenges and have like the willingness to go through them and be open to them as they come, the more the universe opens doors. That's what it seems like. The more like opportunities there are.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, like you start to notice all these like coincidences and meet these people that know these people and this and that. And it's just like mind blown by the like magic of all of it. That's how I feel.
It all fits together.
It all fits, yeah. And yeah, so that's how we know we're like, okay, we are on our path. Like we don't need to like try to do something or be somebody else, or we're just living. And it's really wild here.
Yeah, so cool. I'm seriously, Michael, I'm gonna look at vans on Craigslist like when we're done talking here. It sounds so cool.
It's like the mentality, like we talk about van life, like it's a mentality is what I'm trying to say. It's a mentality just as much as it is a lifestyle. So it's just a commitment to adventure, I think.
And saying yes, like you said too, like just saying yes to it all and seeing the silver lining.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I mean, because realistically we could have like gotten our first breakdown and freaked out and like flew home and left the van where it was. But if you have the ability to push through those things and like be like, all right, this is like part of the adventure, like the downs as well as the ups, like I'm talking about life right now. I'm not talking about like, man, like anyone living any life that they're doing right now. And when you're down, if you're going to get through that, most likely you're going to come out the other side, learning a life lesson and being stronger and knowing how to deal with something you didn't before.
Yeah.
And van life might speed that up in some ways, but in many ways, it's very similar.
Yeah. You know what I think it does then is when you're living in a standard house and you have your, you know, maybe a newer car and you have the food that you buy and like prepackaged things, there's really not a whole lot to figure out anymore, to be honest. There's really not. Yeah. And if you have a problem with your TV or your Wi-Fi, the Wi-Fi just went down here. I called them. I'm like, hey, the Wi-Fi router's broken. And they're like, oh, okay, let's see if we can reconnect it. And then boom, it was back up and running. I didn't have to do anything, right? My car breaks down. Oh, it's under warranty. Yeah. I take it to the shop. Oh, I want to get some food. Go get it. Bring it home. Like, I mean, there's not a whole lot to like resistance, right? It's become very, very comfortable for a lot of people. And so, which is nice, but at the same time, there's no resistance. And if there's no resistance, then like you're saying, how the fuck is anyone supposed to like overcome things and grow and develop if it's always there?
Right. And if we're not facing things regularly, then what happens when you lose this job that you've been, you know, depending on, that's been your comfort for 20 years, or you get ill, or, you know, things happen. So I feel like this is just life practice, just trying to create opportunities that are outside of our comfort zone, just to keep living.
Yeah.
Just to keep growing, because life moves, like it's not stagnant. You look at nature, nothing stays the same. It's all change. It's all movement.
I mean, to this, the whole journey, if I'm going to tell a little story right now, this whole journey like started out on discomfort. Like, for like, we drove across country in January, like, and we drove across on the 40, which is like not the southernmost, but like one of the major southern routes. We went through like Amarillo, Texas in a snowstorm. I didn't even know it snowed in Texas. But anyways, we get to Albuquerque, New Mexico on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
I got sick.
This is Valentine's Day, just real beautiful Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the only place we could find to sleep that night was in a TA truck stop. And so it's 9 degrees out. And this is our like second Valentine's Day together. And we're in a van underneath a stadium lit parking lot in a TA truck stop. And
you could tell them the full story that, because that's just funny. You gotta just
We drove in and we got flagged down by a security guard, and he was like pointing a taser gun at us.
Hippies.
And he like runs. He's like, "What are you doing, hippies?" Anyways, he thought we were prostitutes.
What?
He like, I have long blonde hair, and she has long hair, and he thought we were like two prostitutes that were like going to.
He thought you were the driver, the pimp, or whatever I was the prostitute, and you were dropping me off to go.
Yeah.
Pleasure these truck drivers who are miserable in their cold.
So then he realized that we weren't prostitutes, he told us we had to sleep in this like one brightly lit area. And I mean, this was like full on discomfort. We also thought our van was like having issues at that point too. So we're like, think our van's broken. It's 9 degrees. They think we're prostitutes, and we're like sleeping in this. And that's kind of how it began. We're like, wow, this is like. We're like, wow, this is like pretty uncomfortable, like on all aspects. But we're like, this is it, and this is how you. In a way, we were broken in after that. We're like, all right, well, we slept in 9 degrees. So like, how bad can the nights get after this?
Yeah, now you guys have a great. Now it's a good story, you know. Now looking back, it's an awesome story to tell.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not a prostitute.
That's funny. I mean, a van again would actually be a pretty sweet setup if you were. It's like a mobile prostitute, like. Be a pretty sweet setup, actually.
Yeah, it's got two beds.
Yeah, it's like perfect setup. Yeah, that's funny. Cool. So, all right, tell everyone how, you know, I want you guys to go back in the house. I know you're out there in the cold. Tell everyone how the hell they can get on board if they're thinking about doing the van life. How do they connect with you guys? How do they find you? What's up?
Well, we're online. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, all at Where's My Office Now. Our website is wheresmyofficenow.com. So follow us there. You can fill out a form on our website, and you can be part of our email newsletters. If you're really interested, we'd love to chat and do the whole van life consulting thing. So look us up. We have a form on our website as well for that. And we do have a donation button on our website if you feel like chipping in a couple bucks for gas. That's wonderful. Think of anything else. And come hang out. We'll be participating and organizing a bunch of meetups. There's a lot going on this summer. So we would love to see people, van or not. You don't have to have a van. Just come hang out, and we'll chill by a fire and tell stories and drink kombucha or beer, whatever.
Kombucha. Nice.
Oh, man. Just true hippies here. Really fitting the stereotype.
I just had a big bottle of that yesterday. That was so good. It was so good.
Yeah. We drink like thousands of dollars of kombucha.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
Oh yeah. Anyways, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. We definitely keep it. If people want to keep an eye on Instagram, we will be announcing like when we're doing different meetups. Mm-hmm. We'll probably be doing some in Southern California, yep. Pacific Northwest for sure, and I don't know. We'll see what the summer brings.
Cool. And that's Where's My Office Now on Instagram too. So all one word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks guys. Stick around for 2 seconds, but we'll end it there. And it was so awesome having you guys on and talk everything. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having us, Alex.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, okay, because we ended there, but man, thanks. Yeah. It was so cool. That was awesome guys. Like that was so much cool stuff. I'm stoked to put it up. I'll probably put it up in like, I'm relaunching my site after New Year, so it'll be up like in January, February-ish. Then we'll go from there. But if you guys are coming down, I'm going to be in Austin, and I'm usually all over the West and stuff. So please let me know if you guys are over in that area, and so hopefully we can meet up in person.
Yeah, sounds good. That would be awesome. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, cool. Nice to meet you both. Go inside, get warm. Have a good Christmas. Have a good New Year's.
You too.
All right, later, guys.
All right, later.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that fresh episode with Emily and Corey. Learned some cool stuff, got some ideas as to what it is we can do. Leave me a review on iTunes once again, blah, blah, blah. I will catch you guys very soon. Going to start posting once a week on here instead, and I got some super cool ones coming up. More stuff with travel. I got a cognitive scientist coming up talking about the nature of reality, all types of neato things. So I will see you guys soon.